got a pick and a penny. Pick and a penny. You need a pick and a penny?
I got a feeling Doug's wife probably follows him around and cleans up after him pretty regular, I think, probably at home. Copy. Praise the Lord. Everybody have a good week? Yeah, I got a... Anyway, whatever. Don't ask me that question again, right? Praise the Lord. I got a question for you. Do you love the Lord this morning? Do you know how much He loves you? That's a different question, isn't it? You know how much He loves you. Man, I had a sermon this week and I had some stuff. I had stuff picked out and the Lord was like, no, you're going to do this. And I'm like, man. And then Doug comes in this morning and goes, man, we got some songs. We're going to do some songs today. I'm like, yeah, praise the Lord. And we did. It's like, praise the Lord. I think they tie right in with a message. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, we humbly come before Your throne this morning. We are humbled by how awesome You are. Father, just speak through me this morning. I just want these people to know that, Father, You are God. You are so awesome. There are no words that can explain anything about who You are. You're just totally awesome. We praise You for that, Father. Be with us this morning. The Holy Spirit could just go through these people, Father, this morning and just touch their hearts. Give them some peace this morning, Father. Give them some joy. Give them some love for You, knowing that You love them. Oh, I just ask in Your precious name. Amen. You guys look at the sermon title this morning? Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. Huh? Isn't that cool? We're going to get there eventually. I'm glad Julie's not in here. Because the verse of Scripture I gave you changed. Some of them are there, but there's more of them. I want to start in the book of Philippians. We're going to go to Philippians chapter 4 first. You want to go there in your Bibles, New Testament, Philippians chapter 4. There's some verses. There's just some stuff that we need to get. There's some basics, I guess. This is what I want to go to. I want to look at some basic stuff about the Word of God. If I had this Bible and I told you that everything you needed to live was in this, would you believe me? If I told you that I put a $100 bill in every book of the Bible, in that Bible, and you could read it and find that, would you have a little more motivation maybe to look at it? I'm just asking. Yeah? You mean you got a $100 bill in every one of them books? Yeah, you're going to look at it. It'd be stupid not to, right? This thing is our life. So, Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to start in verse 11. Talking, Paul's doing some stuff here. I just got to get in here. There's a lot of scripture verses today. I hope you write some of them down because they're going to be something you want to go back and look at. Okay? Here we go. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. It says, not that I am implying that I was in any personal want. Paul's saying, you know, I got some stuff going on, all this stuff, and you guys supplied me with some stuff. He says, it's not that I'm implying I was in any personal want, for I have learned how to be content, satisfied, to the point where I am not disturbed or disquieted in whatever state I am in. How'd you like to have that? Huh? When things happen in your life, it's rough, isn't it? You guys think I got it all together, don't you? I mean, you look at me, you think, this guy's got it all together. You are so wrong. Huh? You're so wrong. I got so much junk going on, you can't believe it. You know what? When I get into the presence of the Lord, it's like, those little problems just come littler all the time. You know what I'm saying? I keep moving. Let's keep moving here. Verse 12. Paul says, I know how to be abased and live humbly in straitened circumstances. I know how to live when things are not too bad. And I know how to enjoy plenty and live in abundance. I enjoy, you know, having plenty of stuff to eat and stuff like that. Yeah, yeah. I have learned in any and all circumstances the secret of facing every situation. Whether well-fed or going hungry, having sufficiency and enough to spare, or going without and being in want. He says, you know, if I got stuff, I got it. If I don't, I don't. I've learned the secret to that. I got the secret. What's verse 13? You guys have all read verse 13. You've all applied it to your life. You probably got it on your refrigerator at home. What's it say? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's what it says, right? The Amplified says, I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. You know that word we said before in verse 11, content? It's self-sufficient. Do you feel pretty self-sufficient? I don't. I need all kind of help. I'm a needy guy. I need a lot of help. Paul says, you know what? I can do all things. And if you look at the context of it, he's talking about going through trouble. He's talking about getting beat down. He's talking about being arrested. He's talking about being whipped. He's talking about being stoned. He's talking about being killed. Wow. Yeah, I can do it all. Christ, thank you. You ever think about that? Like, man. You mean the God of the universe is standing behind me? He's got my back. He does. Isn't that great? Let's keep moving because we're going to run out of time. I can tell you that right now. Let's go to James. Let's go to the book of James. We're going to do a little, I like to do a little surfing, a little something. You know what I mean? A little Bible turning. I heard a preacher say when he hears the Bible pages turning, it's like wings of angels, you know. Now I think it's when you got a smartphone, it's like you see all the little glow out there. That's probably maybe a halo glow, maybe. I don't know. You know what I mean? I'm still an old-fashioned guy. James chapter 1. I'm going to go to James chapter 1. I want to read you some stuff here. I want to get some bases. We all know, I think we've all been alive long enough to know, we're going to have trouble in this life, right? Anybody here not had any problems? Anybody here went smooth sailing through life and nothing happening to them? I'm the only one? Okay. So we know we're going to have trouble, right? We're going to have stuff in this life that's going to beat us up. We're going to have stuff that comes against us. It's like, where did that come from? Wow. James chapter 1, I'm going to start in verse 17. Let's just read this. It says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Wow. You mean the good stuff I get comes from above? God gives it to me? Yeah. It comes down from the Father of light, in whom there can be no variation. He doesn't change. He's God. That's pretty cool to know, right? Yeah. Verse 18, and it was of his own free will that he gave us birth as children, men and women, sons and daughters, people, by his word of truth, so that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. This says a sample of what he created to be consecrated to himself. That's you and me. That's cool. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Pretty cool. Verse 19. Understand this, my beloved brethren. Let every man or woman be quick to hear. Ready, listener. Slow to speak. Slow to take offense and to get angry. Wow. That's a pretty good verse. That could be a life verse, couldn't it? Slow to speak. Listener. Yeah, that could be a good verse. For man's anger does not promote the righteousness of God. Now, it doesn't say you're not supposed to get angry, does it? You're going to get angry. You're going to get mad at somebody. When somebody cuts you off and you're in a big truck and they cut you off and you have to... You're like, idiot! Yeah, I've done that before. See, I got problems. I got all kinds of problems. Like, idiot! Really? Yeah. See, that didn't promote any righteousness of God, did it? None. Verse 21. So get rid of all the uncleanness and the rampant outgrowth of wickedness, and in a humble spirit, wow, in a humble spirit, receive the word which implanted and rooted in your heart contains the power to save your soul. You know how much power is in this book? You know how many people never pick it up? You know how many people never read it? Huh? A lot. Verse 22, this is where we're going. So what's it say? What's verse 22 say? But be doers of the word. Obey the message. And not merely listeners to it, betraying yourselves. into deception by reasoning contrary to the truth. You know, you always say that, be doers of the word, not healers, hearers only. But you never hear the last part of that verse. Don't deceive yourself. Don't just hear it. Don't just say, boy, that was a good sermon. Can you remember what was preached on last Sunday? Nothing, right? How much of a hearer? How much of a doer? Talked about hair on the head, right, Matt? We talked about some hair on the head. Yeah, we did. If you don't remember that, it's something, right? Be doers of the word and not hearers only. You deceive yourself if you don't do the word. It says, verse 23, for if anyone only listens to the word without obeying it and being a doer of it, he's like a man who looks carefully at his own natural face in the mirror. You guys look in the mirror this morning before you come to work or come to church? Probably, right? If you're like me, I can't see well without my glasses on. So I can look in the mirror and go, oh, not too bad. Look pretty good. You know what I'm saying? Huh? But he says, if you're going to listen to the word and not do it, it's like looking in the mirror and forgetting what you look like. You could probably remember what you look like, right? I think we all could, right? We looked in the mirror. Yeah, we remember. He says, if you're not doing the word, if you're only listening to it, it's like that. Well, let's go on. For he thoughtfully observes himself and then goes off and promptly forgets what he was like. This is what he's saying. If you look in the mirror and forget what you're like. Verse 25. But he who looks carefully into the faultless law, the law of liberty, and is faithful to it, and perseveres in looking into it, being not a heedless listener, but who forgets, but an active doer, he will be blessed in his doing. You mean to tell me that if I look carefully at this book, the faultless law of God, if I look at this book, instead of just being a listener, and I actually look at it, and I apply it to my life, you'll be an active doer of the word? He says, you'll be blessed in this life of obedience. Isn't that cool? You feel blessed? When things are going totally wrong, you feel blessed? When things are totally messed up and your life is a shambles, do you feel blessed? No. No. You're thinking, where are you, God? What are you doing? And then you don't get an answer. And you're like, where are you? And you still don't get an answer. Les brought up this morning, we've been going through the purpose-driven life and interestingly enough, he gives, he's a part of that we went through already. It talks about those deserts of the soul, the darkness of the soul. When you're talking to God and you don't get nothing, you don't get nothing. It's like, where are you? Why aren't you doing something? Why aren't you killing that guy? Nobody ever been there? That's just me. See, I told you I got a lot of problems. I got a lot of issues, you know what I'm saying? I got a lot of problems. I just really like to just knock this block right off. Huh? You guys aren't like that. I am bad that way. I have anger management issues. I learned that when I was very young. As a young man. As a young punk kid. My older brother took a broom and stuffed it in my face and I busted over his head and beat the living tar out of him. I was 11, he was 17. He was 6'3". I was just mean. I was mean. My dad said, boy, that little dog get kicked by a cow, and her eyes would get that red. She's, ooh, she's just mean. My dad said, you look just like that little dog. You didn't want to be around me in school. I was kind of a mean guy. If you was a bully in school, you didn't want to try bullying this guy. It was on. It was on. I was that guy. I was that guy. I was that guy. Fortunately, the Lord got a hold of me, slapped me around pretty good, made me realize that that anger was a bad thing. Bad. So I tried to become a doer of the word. I still get mad. We all get mad. Everybody gets mad. Anybody here don't get mad? A couple of you don't? Okay. I still get mad. Yeah, it happens. But I've learned, through the help of the Holy Spirit, I've learned to control that. And I'm not that guy anymore. Isn't that cool? I changed. Isn't that cool? That was cool. If I can change, anybody can change. Huh? Isn't that something? That should be a miracle in itself. Right? Let's keep going. We're looking at the Word of God. We haven't touched this subject yet, have we? I'm just laying some foundation stuff here. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 3. I want to read something else here. While we're here, we might as well read it, because this is good stuff. You realize how precious this book is? You realize how the word of God is so precious to us? You realize every home in the United States has probably 5 Bibles in it? 5. It's an average. 5. I have probably 27 different kind of Bibles that I look at when I study. It's crazy. I got a kitchen table full of Bibles stacked up. I look through. I just like to look at them, see what they're saying. It's cool. I like that. I like the feel of a book in my hand. I like it. Most people don't even pick it up. You got 5 words of God in your house and you never pick it up or look at it. Huh? I bet you say, well, I'm not a reader. I understand. I'm not either. I don't know how to pray. Well, just flip into the book of Psalms sometime and just start reading it. You're praying to God. And some of that stuff is just killing God. Bust their teeth right out of their mouth. That's what David's saying. Read some of it. He was being honest with God. Just bust their teeth right out of their mouth. That's what he was saying. Be careful with them kind of prayers. I'm just saying. If you don't know how to pray, open that book up and start reading some of it. You'll find some answers. I'm going to show you some of that today. Keep going. Ephesians chapter 3. Got to keep moving. We're going to start in verse 16. I want to read something here. I want you to listen to this. There's a lot of scripture, but I want you to listen to this. It says here in verse 16. May He, God, grant you out of the rich treasures of His glory to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man by the Holy Spirit Himself indwelling your innermost being and personality. Whew! I am so glad the Holy Spirit is indwelling me, because I'm not that guy I used to be. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? You wouldn't have liked me. You may not like me now. You wouldn't have liked me back then. I was not a nice person. I wasn't. Verse 17. May Christ. God's going to grant you this. Holy Spirit. Now Christ. May Christ, through your faith, actually dwell. Settle down. Abide. Make His permanent home in your heart. Isn't that cool? May Christ just make His home in your heart. Is He welcome there? May you be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love. If you love somebody, man, I'll tell you what. People had to love me because I was not a lovable person. Verse 18. That you may have the power and be strong to apprehend and grasp with all the saints what is the breadth, length, and height, and depth God's love. Do you know what is there a measurement? No. God's love is so high you can't see how high it goes. God's love is so long you can't see how long it goes. God's love is so deep there's no way you can go to get away from Him. Isn't that great? That's good to know, right? Let's go on. Verse 19. That you may really come to know practically through experience for yourselves the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may be filled through all your being unto the fullness of God, may have the richest measure of the divine presence, become a body wholly filled and flooded with God's self. Woo! Huh? You mean I'm flooded with God? Woo! Huh? Isn't that exciting? Really boring me. Okay. I get a little excited. It's like a singing. It's like, man, some of them songs like, yes. Huh? Praise the Lord. Huh? Did I get you excited? A little? Verse 20. It says, now, to Him by in consequence of the action of His power that is at work within us, is able to carry out His purpose and do super duper, uber duper, super duper abundantly. That's quite a word, isn't it? You know, Paul penned that word. It's not even a word until he penned it. Super duper, super duper abundantly. That's a pretty, that's like more better, right? It's more better, right? It's more better. It's more better. It's super duper. He's saying that God can do so much higher than what you could think. I like the Amplified. Let me read it to you here. Far over all above that we dare ask or think. The Amplified is infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. Wow. Can you dream it? Can you dream it? God can make it come to pass. Can you pray for it? God can make it come to pass. Can you desire it? God can make it come to pass. Isn't that something? I want to be President of the United States. That's a pretty high, tall order, isn't it? Huh? I wouldn't want to be President of the United States. I'd probably beat somebody up or something stupid. You know what I mean? I'd probably get in trouble. You know what I mean? If you got a dream, don't give up on it. God can do it. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Isn't that cool? That sounded almost like a prayer, didn't it? It did sound like a prayer, didn't it? Huh? Isn't that cool? He can do super, duper, abundantly, and it's not because of me. It's not because I took a shower, and it's not because I have matching socks on. You wouldn't know that. I got boots on, you wouldn't know. I may not have matching socks. I may have a green one and a yellow one. You don't know, right? Does it matter? You don't know. I know, though. But anyway, you see what I'm saying? If God is indwelling me, and His power is giving me strength, it has nothing to do with what I'm capable of. Because I ain't capable of nothing. Because His power in me, indwelling in me, that I can do some stuff. Right? Isn't that cool? We ain't even got to the sermon title yet. Okay. We're going to go to the Old Testament. We're going to go all the way back to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Trying to keep this moving. I know. 1 Samuel chapter 3 is where I got the sermon title from. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. How do we pray? Listen, Lord, your servant's speaking. Isn't that what we do? That's what we do, isn't it? When you, oh, Lord, I need this, I need that, I need this, not that. Okay, talk to you later, bye. Isn't that how we do it? That's how we do it, isn't it? He's God. He doesn't have to listen to you. He loves you so much. He says, okay, I'll overlook that stupidity. Huh? I know God's got to say, boy, that man, he's a stupid, he's an idiot, he's dumb. But I love Him. Huh? Isn't that good to know? That He still loves me when I'm stupid? Isn't that great? That's good for me. All right, 1 Samuel chapter 3. Some things happened here in the first two chapters of Samuel. There's a Elkanah has a wife named Hannah, and she can't have a child, and she wants a child. So every year, they would go up, because Elkanah was the Ephraimites. Every year, they would have to go up and sacrifice. Every year, to sacrifice. She goes up one year, and she says, before the Lord in the altar, she says, Lord, if you give me a child, I will dedicate him to you for the rest of his life. Sure. She's putting out a pretty good thing. Can't have a child. Hasn't had a child for years. She doesn't have a child. She says, Lord, if you give me one, I'll give him back to you. Okay. Long story short, she gets pregnant. She has a son. And she names him Samuel. You know what Samuel means? God hears. God hears. Yeah, He hears. God hears. God hears. Lester preached last Sunday. He said about Israel, Jacob. Remember when God changed Jacob's name, supplanter, what Jacob means, to Israel? What's Israel mean? Contender with God. And I thought, isn't that something? Today, 2020, there's still a remnant, there's still an Israel. And what does Israel mean? Contender with God. He knew He was going to contend with them for the rest of their lives, in their next generations and all that. So He named them that. Wow. So she names her son Samuel, because God heard her and gave her a son. Chapter 3. verse 1. Now, the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. Now get this. Samuel was probably, they figure that probably he was 2 or 3 years old when she took him up there to the temple. So he's a little boy. He's maybe 4, 5, 6 years old. He's really young. He's very young. Okay? He says, so he's ministering before the Lord, before Eli. Eli was the high priest at that time. It says, and the word of the Lord was rare and precious in those days. There was no frequency or widely spread vision. It says, the word of the Lord was rare. You know how rare this thing is you got in your hand? It's rare. God put it together so it would be all in one place. It's rare. They didn't have it back then. They didn't have our Bible like we got it today. It's rare. Wow. Verse 2. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had dimmed, so he could not see, was lying down in his own place. And the lamp of God had not yet gone out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was lying down. When the Lord called Samuel, now get this, the ark of the Lord was in this place. That was the Shekinah glory. That was like where God was now. That's where he stayed. This is where he stayed because it wasn't where he stayed, it's where he visited when they had things. He was that God. Not like today. He's inside us. You take him with you. This time they had to go somewhere where the ark of God was. Okay. So Samuel's lying down, Eli's lying down. He must be getting close to going to bedtime, right? Okay. The Lord called Samuel. And he answered, here I am. You imagine this little kid, 5, 6 years old. Samuel! Here I am. How would you like to have your kid say that to you? Huh? Wouldn't that be cool? When you holler at them, they go, here I am. Yes, mommy. Wouldn't that be cool? That'd be cool. Okay. God can do super abundantly above all you ask or think. I'm just saying it's drawn up there. Okay. So verse 5. He ran to Eli and said, he thinks Eli's calling him, so he says, here I am, for you called me. Eli said, I didn't call you. Go lay down again. So he went and laid down. Verse 6. And the Lord called again, Samuel. Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. You called me. Eli answered, I didn't call you. Go lay down. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Wow. And the word of the Lord was not yet revealed to him. Verse 8. And the Lord called Samuel a third time. And he went to Eli and said, here I am, for you did. You called me. I heard you. You called me. Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli said to Samuel, go lie down, and if he speaks to you, you shall say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Wow. So Samuel went and laid down in his place, in verse 10. And the Lord came and stood and called at other times, Samuel, Samuel! Samuel answered, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Isn't that cool? Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. How many times have you went to prayer and just sat down and said, speak, Lord, your servant's listening? How many times you went to prayer and said, listen, Lord, your servant's speaking? Isn't that what we do? You take a few seconds just to maybe sit and say, what do you got to tell me today, Father? What do you want to talk about today? What do you want to talk about? Be careful. He might want to talk about something you don't want to talk about. Me calling that guy an idiot when he cut me off? God does that to us. He does that to us. He will bring up stuff that you don't want to talk about. And sometimes he brings up stuff that nobody else knows but you. Isn't that cool? When he does that, though, he's working on you. He's trying to make you better today than you were yesterday. Isn't that cool? He's trying to make you better. He's trying to make you righteous like he's righteous. He's trying to make you holy like he's holy. You feel pretty holy most days? No. So we see here. Try it sometime. Speak, Lord. Your servant's listening. Thought we're done, didn't you? We're not. Let's go to the book of Isaiah. I want you to see a couple of things here. Psalms, Proverbs, then Isaiah. We're going to go to Isaiah chapter 9. I'm going to touch on something that you've read, just went through not too long ago. Christmas time, y'all remember that Christmas thing we did? A month ago, maybe? Y'all remember that? Now almost a month to the day, isn't it? Pretty close. In Isaiah chapter 9, and I could read more of this, but I want to get into Isaiah 40. I think this is going to make a lot more sense. I'm going to read verse 1 of chapter 9. But in the midst of judgment, there is the promise and the certainty of the Lord's deliverance, and there shall be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, the Lord brought in contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the latter time, He will make it glorious by the way of the sea of Galilee, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. I'm going to read verse 2, and it said, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. That's me! That's you! We walked in darkness, and then we got to know somebody. We got to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? Isn't that great? Isn't that exciting? Who walked in darkness and seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of intense darkness and the shadow of death, upon them has the light shine. This is so cool. And he says, oh, you, O Lord, have multiplied the nation, increased their joy. They rejoice before you like the joy in harvest, as men rejoice when they divide spoil in battle. Woo, they're rejoicing. Yay! For the yoke of Israel's burden and the staff or rod of goading their shoulders and the rod of their oppressor you have broken is in the day of Midian. You know, at this point in time, Israel had been overtaken as a nation. People had been killed. People had been murdered. People had been taken into slavery. People had had families torn apart. Your home was gone. Everything you owned was gone. It's all gone. And you're going to go, and somebody else is going to tell you when you get up, when you go to bed, how much you can eat, when you can eat. They're going to tell you everything that's going on, right? This is the situation they were in right now. And God said, that'd be joyful. That doesn't go over real well, does it? No. Verse 6. I want you to look at something here, verse 6. We all know this verse. We read this verse. We read this a month ago. You've heard this verse. It says, for to us a child is born. To us a son is given. Check it out. For to us a child is born. Jesus had to be born as a child to come to us, right? And it says, to us a son is given. But he was the pre-existent Son of God who was given to us. God gave his son. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called. This is a proclamation. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Isn't that cool? You know the word wonderful here? It points towards God anointed, continuing the marvelous acts of God. He is a wonder. He's a wonder of a counselor. Isn't it nice to have somebody to knock some, you know, call somebody and say, hey, I got this thing. Got this thing. Nice to talk to somebody that you know is not going to judge you. Not going to say, you're just stupid. Don't do that. You're stupid. You know? But it's going to say, you know, I see where you're coming from on that, but you do this or you do that. Is there nice to have somebody like that? That you know that you can tell something and they're not going to judge you for being stupid. Isn't that cool? It's nice to know. That's Jesus. He's not going to judge you. And you know what's really cool? He's got good counsel. He's not going to tell you to go punch that guy right in the mouth. Maybe he will. I don't know. I doubt it. Because God loves him just as much as he loves me. Isn't that cool? So he's going to be a wonder of a counselor. Mighty God. The word here for mighty is a strong warrior. And tied together here, it's used here of a messianic expectation that the Messiah would be a mighty God just as he has always been a mighty God. Wow. He's in our midst. Wow. Everlasting Father. He's the everlasting of eternity. He is a father forever. He is your father forever. Isn't that cool? Did you have a good dad when you were growing up? Did you have a good godly father? I know a lot of people didn't. And they can't grasp a heavenly father who loves you so much, who wants the best for you so much, and did so much so he could have a relationship with you. Can't grasp that. Because they never had an earthly father that loved them. That's hard. It's hard to talk to a person like that. But our Lord Jesus Christ is the everlasting Father. And what's the next thing that it says? Prince of Peace. He's the Prince of Princes. I want to read you something here. This is a... I don't know if you guys know Tony Evans. He is a black preacher. He's down in Texas. His wife just passed away here from cancer about 3 weeks ago. He's a really awesome preacher. He's really got some... I really like listening to him. Really, really impressed. He got a book out. It's called Praying Through the Names of Jesus. It just takes you through. Takes you adoration, thanksgiving, supplication, just prayers. Because he said, you know, people come to him and say, I don't know how to pray. How to pray. His adoration for this Prince of Peace is Jesus. The name Prince of Peace means that you yourself are the embodiment of peace. Wow. Not only that, but you rule over all manifestations of peace. Wow. When you speak peace, peace comes about. When you take command, when you command peace, peace responds. That's what it's all about. He is the Prince of Peace. When he speaks it, it happens. That peace comes to you. You tell peace where to go and where to reside. Your peace passes all understanding. It is beyond figuring out. You are the peace in the midst of crisis and emergencies. Your peace guards hearts and minds. Fear has no place in my heart because you are the Prince of Peace whom I worship. And I read that and I thought, wow, he is the Prince of Peace. When Jesus says, peace. What happened to the storms? Stop. Right? Now, how many times have you been in the midst of a problem and said, give me some peace! And just stop. Anybody? Usually not. You're like, where are you, God? Usually not. You know what? He gives you peace in the midst of it. You know, give you some ways out. Give you some peace. Gives you peace. Gives me peace when I'm in situations where it's like, man, this is just all bad. He gives me peace. And who is this God who gives me peace? Let's go to Isaiah chapter 40. I want to read something for you here. I don't want to hold you up too long, but I want you to see something. Isaiah chapter 1 through 39 is talking about all the problems that Israel had. They're no longer a nation. They've been overtaken. They've been dispersed. They've been kidnapped, they've been killed, their families, it's just a mess. Chapter 40 starts, and they almost think that somebody other than Isaiah wrote chapter 40 through the end of the book because of changes. But I believe that God gave Isaiah some insight. Isn't that cool? So what does Isaiah chapter 40 verse 1 say? Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Comfort. Comfort. Who could use a little comfort? Not Southern comfort. I'm talking comfort. I want to clarify. Okay? Clarify. All right. That kind of comfort. Okay. Speak tenderly to the heart of Jerusalem. Cry to her that her time of service and her warfare are ended, that her punishment is accepted, and her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received punishment from the Lord double. She has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Wow. Wow. Remember how it started saying comfort? Comfort? Verse 3. A voice of one who cries, prepare in the wilderness the way of the Lord. Make straight and smooth in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted and filled up, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked and uneven shall be made straight, and the level and the rough places a plain. Whew. And the glory, the majesty, the splendor of the Lord shall be revealed. All flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Wow, we're getting some pretty good stuff now, right? Let's comfort. This is God now. Who's talking about the Lord? Yeah, man. He's in your corner, right? Check it out. Verse 6. A voice says, cry. And I said, what am I going to cry? All flesh is as frail as grass, and all that makes it attractive. Its goodness, its goodwill, its mercy from God, its glory and common. How are we good? Like the flower of the field, it's just temporary. The grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Wow. Me, my life is so fragile that God just... Wow. Say, surely, all people are like grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. That's pretty exciting, isn't it? God's word is going to stand forever. The grass is going to fade. I'm going to die someday. I'm going to be gone. Huh? Let's keep going. Oh, you who bring good tidings to Zion, get up to the mountain. Oh, you who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up! Be not afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, behold, your God. Isn't that something? He just lift it up. He's God. Behold, the Lord God will come with might, and his arm will rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He said, he's God. He's coming. He's got a strong arm. You ain't standing in his way. He's God. Verse 11. He's God. He can destroy you. Done. 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 And then verse 11. What's it say? He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He's going to take care of you. He will gather the lambs in his arms. Those ones that are too frail to walk. He says, I'm going to pick you up and carry you. I'm going to carry you. And then it says, he will carry them in his bosom. He will put them in the folds of his clothes and just carry them. Isn't that cool? Isn't that nice to know that God, as strong, as powerful he is, he loves you so much, he's going to pick you up and carry you. Well, you can. And he will gently lead those who have their young. Verse 12. Check this out. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? You know how much water's out there? You see, you ever been in the ocean? There's a lot of water. You just keep. There's a lot of water. Said, I just measured that in my palm of my hand. That's all I did. No big deal. God says, it's just like water in the palm of my hand. Isn't that something? That's your God. Okay, so that's not real impressive. Maybe put the water in the palm. Yeah, it's the ocean. Yeah. He marked off the heavens with a 9-inch span. They still cannot see the end of our galaxy, guys. They still cannot see the end of it. They got all these telescopes. They got them out there. They cannot see the end of it. And God says, I just marked it off between my thumb and forefinger. I know the dimensions of it, size of everything. That's God. Isn't it exciting? This is the God we're talking about here. This is the God we said, he lives inside me, and his strength infuses me, and his power makes me strong? Yeah. Let's keep going. Enclose the dust of the earth in a measure. You ever work in the summertime, the wind blows, all that dust? Yeah, just put it in a measure. And weigh the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. Now, I don't know about you. You pick up a pretty good-sized rock, it's heavy, right? I mean, it's pretty good to be heavy. You ever see the mountains? They're big. What do they weigh? I don't know. God says, I got them weighed. I know what they weigh. What weigh? No big deal. I got it. That's pretty exciting, isn't it? I thought it was. I'm like, hey, this is pretty exciting. Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord? Or as his counselor has taught him? Who gives the Lord direction on how to make you and me? How to make the world? Who gives him direction? Nobody. It was him. Who's God? Verse 14. With whom did he take counsel? What instruction might be given him? Who taught him the path of justice and taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? Who taught God? Nobody. The answer is nobody. Verse 15. Behold, the nations are like a drop from a bucket. You ever carry a 5 gallon bucket, water, pretty heavy, and a little drop fall off of it? Can you tell the difference? No difference. God says the nations are just like that drop off of that bucket. They don't mean nothing to me. Wow. That sounds kind of impressive, doesn't it? Behold, the nations are like a drop from a bucket and are accounted as small dust on the scales. Now, how many of you guys, I'm going to ask this question, you still go to the deli and get, like, cheese and meat at the deli, and they cut it off real nice and slice. That's pretty cool, isn't it? You have them wipe the dust off the scale before you put the meat on there so you don't pay for the dust? No! They look at you like you're crazy, right? That's what God's saying. It's like dust on a scale. It don't even matter. This is the nations of the earth. It don't even matter. Just dust. Just dust on a scale. Behold, he takes up the isles like a very little thing. Every isle, it's nothing. It's just nothing. God says, it's just nothing. Just nothing. Verse 16. And all Lebanon's forest cannot supply sufficient fuel, nor all its wild beasts furnish victims enough to burn sacrifices worthy of the Lord. Wow. All the nations are as nothing before him. They are regarded by him as less than nothing and empty. When you see Russia and North Korea, these guys, you know, hey, we're going to blow you all up, dude. We're going to do it. God's saying, you ain't nothing. You ain't nothing. That's God. Can we believe God? Can we rely on him? Yeah, we can. That's that same God that lives inside you, right? You just heard that, right? Same God. Let's keep going. And to whom will you liken God? Or with what likeness will you compare him? And talk about idiots here, making a graven image. Workman casts it, goldsmith overlays gold and casts silver chains for it. He is impoverished, has no offering or nothing, he no rich gift. He goes and buys, gets a piece of wood that maybe won't rot, and chooses a tree, and he seeks out a skillful craftsman to carve it, and he will set it up so it won't, and he has to set it so it won't fall over. They have to make a base for it. How stupid are we? God's like, how stupid are you? How stupid are you? You worshippers of idols, you are without excuse. Do you not know? Verse 21. Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? These things ought to convince you of God's omnipotence and of the folly of bowing to idols. Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is God who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers. It is he who stretches out the heavens like a gauze curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. Wow. Who brings dignitaries to nothing? Who makes the judges and rulers of earth as chaos? Verse 24, yes, these men are scarcely planted, scarcely are they sown, scarcely does their stalk take root in the earth when the Lord blows upon them and they wither and they're gone. I've got to do it. You're gone. Pretty cool, huh? Verse 25, to whom then will you liken me that I should be equal to him, says the Holy One. God says, who is my equal? There isn't one. Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these. What's he talking about? Stars. You ever lay out at night? When I was a young fella, growing up on the farm, we had 3 bedrooms in the house. And in the summertime, I slept in the barn. Or we slept out. We had a sleeping bag. We lay out on the barn bank. I can remember laying there and looking. And the more you look, the more stars you saw. And the more stars you saw, the more stars. Like, there's a bunch of them up there. I can just remember that laying there. Like, that is so cool. God says, look up at them stars. What's he going to say here? They said, I heard somebody say that if you took every grain of sand from every beach in the world, that's how many stars there are. They're limitless. There's no number. You can't count them. What's this say? He who brings out their host by number and calls them all by name. Wow. This God seems pretty impressive, doesn't he? Through the greatness of his might and because he is strong in power, not one is missing or lacks anything. This is God. Why, O Jacob, do you say and declare, O Israel, my way and my lot are hidden from the Lord, my right hand is passed over without regard from my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the earth, ends of the earth, does not faint nor grow weary. There was no searching of his understanding. Wow. He gives power to the faint and weary. To him who has no might, he increases strength. Even young youth shall faint and be weary. And young men shall feeble and stumble and fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord, who expect, look for, and hope in him, shall change and renew their strength and power. They shall lift up their wings and mount up close to God as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint or become tired. Wow. Do you understand that God has measured out the universe between his finger and thumb? He knows you pretty well, doesn't he? He knows you pretty well. I'm getting about done, don't you too, brother? I was supposed to tell him that, to wake him up, make sure he was still awake. What's interesting to me is, when you read Isaiah chapter 40, if you ever have a day that you can't pray, don't know how to pray, don't know what to pray, read Isaiah 40. Just read that. Just read that. And you look and see, you know, our God is a pretty amazing God. Why does he love me? He's pretty amazing, isn't he? He's amazing. He's pretty amazing. Why does he love me? I'm going to ask him that question, I think, when I get to heaven. I'm going to say, why did you love me? Why? I was not a lovable person. I was very unlovable. God has a job for you. Each and every one of you. He has a job for you that only you can do in his kingdom. I don't know what it is. Maybe you know what it is. I don't know what it is. God has a job for you. He's looking for you to do a job for him. And he wants you to understand that because of his power, because of his strength, because of who he is, you can do it because of who he is inside you. Isn't that cool? Eagles are an interesting thing, and I don't know why, but I was looking at eagles when I read this. Eagles are an interesting animal. They're the only animal that doesn't go inside when it rains. They fly up above the clouds. They fly up above the rain. Eagles are the only animal that they're the longest living bird in the world. They live roughly 70 years. Eagles do. When an eagle is probably 40 years old, they go through a point where their wings, their feathers get so congested they can't hardly fly. Their long sharp beak gets so nasty they can't pick anything. Their talons get so long they cannot grab prey. They have two choices. They can die, or they go to their nest and they actually bust their beak off themselves. They bust their beak off themselves, and that beak grows back. When the beak grows back, they can pluck them feathers that don't stay, that are hindering them from flying. And they actually bust their talons off. They do this themselves. They bust their talons off, and their talons go back. And then they said they'll probably live another 30 years. Wow. God compared us to lifting up on wings like eagles. It wasn't just because eagles are a pretty impressive bird. It's because, you know, we're going to go through some stuff that's going to hurt. We're going to go through some stuff that's going to be painful. We're going to go through some stuff. God's got plans for you. I don't know what they are. I pray that he gives us an insight on that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we humbly come before your throne this morning. Father, I just pray that your Spirit would just show us in our mind and our hearts, Father, that you are God. You are so precious. You are so awesome. You are God. We can understand, Father, that you love us and wants what's best for us. We can rely on you, Father, because of your power and how awesome you are. We don't have words, Father, but we know that you love us. We praise you that you love us. Father, I just ask that this message would be implanted on our hearts. We would be doers of your word, not hearers only. We would understand. We walk out that door, Father, you know something's going to come against us. We're going to have trouble. We're going to have trials. We're going to have tribulations. Something's going to come against us. Father, just refresh on our hearts that you are the Prince of Peace. We can have peace in all our trials. Father, we just love you and praise you. Father, in your precious name we pray. Amen. We're going to come to a time of offerings or for invitation this morning. And we do this every week. If you need prayer for something, Les and Matt's going to be down here. And we're a little short on singers today, so I'm going to do a little singing. So, try to do a little singing. If you need some prayer for anything, come down. These men love you. They want to pray for you.